We used to do this every morning at a diner. We don't do it at a diner anymore. I'm hungry.
I did not expect this from you. From Kevin, yes. From you, no. You know what? We're rolling with it. I'm not re-recording it. Hey, everyone. This is the... Oh, shit. I can't even get it right now.
Well, because I told you I was hungry, and now you're thinking about how hungry you are.
I really am. Hey, everyone, and welcome to Thirsty Thursday. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.
Oh, shit. Okay. So everyone's watched the Ted Lasso this week.
Affirmative. Yeah.
I only bring it up because it's become the main focal point of our Thirsty Thursdays as of late. So let's keep that rolling. What'd you guys think? It was a different episode that they've ever shown before. It follows Beard as he kind of sets out on a night to try to forget the semifinal game that his team played in, and it leads to some self-discovery, it leads to some shenanigans, and overall episodes that kind of have mixed reviews, right? Like there's some people who really have enjoyed it and some people that are just like meh.
Yeah, I'm pretty meh about it. It was fun to watch him like go on this adventure, but there were so many times when things were happening where I was just like, so this is a dream, right? Like, because there was stuff that clearly wasn't happening. Like the announcers clearly weren't talking to him. Mm-hmm. They didn't show up in that alleyway, and it was like, what?
But they were
like
at the bar. We were
drunk, but like he wasn't even. What's that?
But they were at the bar. That he like the club. Like then all of a sudden they're at the club
at the end.
Yeah. So that I definitely give that to you. That's definitely weird.
There's just a bunch of that. What I did like though is I was telling Katie when we were watching it, I was like, I like the fans, the three dudes, mm-hmm. like because they always have like this like little bit parts. And there's times when like you know like Ted called one of them by names, and he's like, oh, the coach knows my name, and so to have them go out and have like this epic night because of Coach Beard was really fun. Mm-hmm. Just to see them like just, I mean, literally. Take them to this really fancy club, like sneak them in. They pretend to be someone they're not. They win a fuck ton of money off of some bros while playing pool. They rent a limo and then he lets them on the field, like on the pitch itself. Like, dude, he blew their fucking minds that night. Like, he absolutely. Well, that was fun. But like, his story was so fucking like. Weird.
It was, but I kind of liked that. Like, I enjoyed the fact that it was like, because he's such a quiet person and like you don't really dive into him, and I guess that's what makes him mysterious and fun, is the fact that you don't know his backstory. But fuck if he's not a man of that is just a hopeless romantic. Like, he just wants to love, and it keeps fucking up on him, and like every turn during this episode you're just like, Jesus Christ, he can't answer the phone, he can't come back to her. When he does get his phone back, it's fucking dead, and it's like, hey, I love you, well fuck you then. Like, he's just like, mm-hmm. fuck
yeah. No, the whole thing was wild. I mean, it was interesting to see, because they've kind of alluded to this like wild life that Coach Beard lives somehow. Like, they've alluded to it, mm-hmm. and like just brief little comments here and there. So it was interesting to actually see it, like, man, this motherfucker does live like a crazy ass life. Like, it's wild. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's a part of me that's like, but I liked the mystery of it. Mm-hmm. Like, now that I've seen it, like, well, yeah, that's wild. That whole, everything was crazy. But I kind of liked the mystery of it, where he just like gives us those like short answers or whatever, and you're like, the fuck are you happened to you? Like, you know, like what are you talking about? You did what? And then it never expounds on anything, never says any more about it. But I liked that more. So I don't know. And we're getting close to the end of the season. So I'm like, I need more soccer. Like, I need more of like the team, like getting out of relegation and getting back to the Premier League.
Yeah.
Kev, what'd you think of it?
I absolutely loved it. This probably had to be one of my favorite episodes this season because of how different it was. And because it was a Coach Beard oriented episode, it had a whole different, like the theme and everything. It felt like it could have been its own standalone, like movie of sorts, you know, just because of the adventures he went on. It was a very condensed version, obviously. But yeah, I mean, just like the interactions he has, you know, in the secret club when he immediately, you know, goes off talking about how he went to Oxford or he taught at Oxford and like was able to kind of like come up with these things on the fly is quite amazing. And, you know, his ability to, yeah, it made it kind of like a weird, you know, when he's being watched by this woman and he's kind of like, they're kind of giving each other glances back and forth. Once again, like Doug said, it could have been a dream state. You know, that was the symbol, you know, he kept following her out. The fact that she, I love the fact that she's trying to repair his pants and, you know, then he wears these like fucking Captain or Sergeant Pepper in the Lonely Hearts Band pants. Mm-hmm. But I love that the boyfriend's like, or husband's like this big Batista dude looking like that's just going to come in and try to break the place down. Like, I just kind of love it. It had a lot of those tropes from like those, I wouldn't say romantic comedies, but a lot of comedies back in the day of like, you know, having situations like that. So I really enjoyed the episode. Brendan Hunt deserves an award for that. Like if they're going to give away, you know, like kind of like how Gata got his flowers in season two of Dave. I feel like Beard's like the Gata of this show where he's got like this, when he has his own moments, it really does something for the season. And like, I think a lot of people are going to look at Coach Beard differently after this and like have a lot more empathy for him and everything. But it was, like, all in all, it had a great beginning, middle, and an end to it. And it, like I said, it was one of the more complete episodes to me. And like I said, you could play that as a special, and I'd be happy with it.
Awesome. Let's see. We all got together and watched Candyman.
Yeah, the new Candyman. That movie fucking ruled.
Yeah, it did. And I was so nervous at the beginning because I was just like, oh, God, I don't know if I can do this. But they did it in such a great way that I was so intrigued with the story. And it is almost like the scary parts were, it was almost like they were just added on for, like, they had an actual real story to tell, which was gentrification and of course, racism and everything. But it was just like, all right, let's use Candyman to tell that story. And it was done really fucking awesome. It was really well done.
Yeah. And it was tied back to the original movie so well too. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there was like a reveal at one point how it ties back and we're all like, shut the fuck up. Like, how do we not see that? Like, what the fuck? Are you kidding me?
Cause they fucking told us right in the beginning of the movie and then it didn't click until it was like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And like, yeah, they had some of the, like, some people back from the original too. So it was like, how the fuck did I not know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like one, because it was like, oh, that person hasn't aged a goddamn day in the fucking 30 years since the original movie came out. Like, you look exactly the same.
You know what's
not exactly the same, but like, you know, it doesn't look like 30 years had passed for that person.
Yeah.
You know what the weird thing is like they even when he went to the doctors, nobody put it together. Like, nobody put it together. When he goes to the doctor, he's like, oh, you didn't grow up it. You grew up here. Like, this is where you were born. And no one, like, connected the dots yet. It wasn't until he sat down.
Because he was like, no, I didn't. I grew up in, I was born in such and such.
Yeah. Outside. Like, he was, yeah.
So. Like, okay. Dude, yeah, it was wild. And I like that a lot of, like, the violence and stuff was all done in, like, off screen or like in reflections or shadows or whatever. So it wasn't, even though it was like gory, it also wasn't, you know, like it, I mean, it was, but you know what I mean? Like you didn't, I'm trying to think like the first movie where you see the one dude get the hook through the back and like up through him. Like, they didn't really have stuff like that. It was like, again, like I think about that the critic lady in her apartment and how the camera's on her like balcony, like window, and it just continues to pull back. And as the camera's pulling back and getting farther and farther away, you see her get lifted up in the air, slammed against the like the sliding glass door, and then like dragged across it. Mm-hmm. And like the blood and stuff that follows. And it's all, again, it's at such a small, it just gets smaller and smaller as you're watching. You're like, holy shit. Like, mm-hmm. holy shit. Like that was cool. Like the way they did stuff was cool. The like a bathroom scene, and you're watching almost everything happen from inside the stall, and so you're not actually seeing it happen. It's, you're just seeing
and then the mirror.
You're hearing it more than anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the scariest thing. I think that's the way that old school horror movies used to be, where it's just like you're creating the terror from your own mind instead of like just mm-hmm. watching gore. You know what I'm saying? And that's what makes it scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's one of the things I think we talked about even after we watched it, we were just in there like, wow, that was really good. And yeah, the fear of the unknown is the scariest part. And like mm-hmm. the, not that slasher movies ruined that, but like they've been so focused for so long on like the unique kills and all those things that like, yeah, you kind of lose the story and stuff. If you're more focused on the, how can Jason brutally murder these teenagers in this movie? Like, what's the cool way he's going to murder these people? Mm-hmm. And to not have that necessarily, and it just be about the story first and foremost, and that as like not an afterthought, because it wasn't done poorly. It was done very well, but it wasn't as like in your face. That wasn't what was scary. The violence wasn't what was scary.
Right.
Necessarily. Yeah. So,
yeah.
It was a good movie.
I really like the retelling of how many Candymans there's been too. It wasn't just like, you know, everyone seems to have their own Candyman in a way. You know, like the guy who was working in the laundromat in the 70s had his version of the Candyman, you know? And so it was like it was a different actor and everything. Like we see at the end, you know, our familiar Candyman, you know, is reshown, but
You said it now, was cool. Three or four times. You better calm this fuck down, man.
Yeah, you say it again, you're gonna disappear. You're from Chicago.
CM. Yeah, so. CM, but not Punk. Oh God, maybe that's what his name was. Candyman Punk.
Oh, there it is. Jesus Kevin. Christ, Kevin.
There's no mirrors.
Please tell me there's no mirrors.
Come on. I don't keep any mirrors in this house. I don't want to look at myself. Oh, but I love those callbacks, and just man, it's sad because I mean that the gentrification story, and they made fun of me as soon as they popped in the chat about it, but it was like the gentrification story was like 100% true. If you grew up in Chicago when Cabrini was still around, like you've seen the transition it's made, and it's completely like that, where it's turned, you know, they mentioned a part where, you know, they were trying to say that, you know, basically rich people are to blame for gentrification. And it's like, no, it's all kind of planned. You know, they ruin a neighborhood. Then they send artists in there because it's cheap, you know, it's cheap living. And the artists kind of bring about, you know, the
coffee shops and the things like that.
Yeah. And like, it's kind of messed up because the artists, you know, and this is what I believed in too, you know, living in like a neighborhood like that was like, I believe that we were doing something better by like sprucing up the neighborhood, but what we were basically doing is just setting it up for sale, you know, and it's kind of fucked up, but that's how Chicago is right now. So like they really nailed it. Like that storyline right there.
Yeah. Fucking awesome movie. Mm-hmm. That is great. Okay. So both of you guys is anyone caught up on What We Do in the Shadows in Brooklyn 99?
No.
Fuck. Okay, god damn it. All right, well, I watched both of those, and both of those are great, and I cried. Well, I didn't cry. I teared up at the end of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
So. Yeah, the finale, right? Yeah, the series finale.
Oh, it's over?
It's a two-part series, or two-part finale. It was only 10 episodes this year, and they released two episodes a week, and it felt like they were just like, fuck it, let's just get this over with. Jesus Christ. But yeah, the last two episodes are so heartwarming and so funny and great. And then I teared up, and it's fantastic. It's Doug, you're gonna love it.
Yeah, we'll have to get around to watching it at some point.
Yeah, What We Do in the Shadows, probably one of the best episodes. It's right up there with the classics that have already come out. I think it's up there. I think it's up there with Jackie Daytona. All I'll say is they go to a fucking casino.
Yes.
It's so fucking awesome. It's so funny. Yeah, man, it's really funny. It's not, I wouldn't say it's as good as Jackie Daytona, but it's up there. It's in the top five, moments of like episodes. It's so fucking funny. Let's see. I haven't played much. I haven't watched a lot of stuff other than what I just said. I'm still working my way through the downtown and,
walking around. Yeah. Faces are plant.
Well, and watching Arrested Development.
So. Hell yeah. Where you at?
Nice.
I am on episode 9 of season 2. I just finished where Tobias buys the Queen Mary.
Mm-hmm.
The sign says Tobias is Queen Mary. And then they start a goddamn gang fight.
They're the gang fight.
Yeah. Fucked, man. And, Michael tries to buy a company card, and then it didn't last one episode. They're like, all right, I'm going to need that company car now. Yep. Fucking brother. Anyways, yeah, it's I'm having a great time with it still. So fucking, this so family good. Is so fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what are you guys up to this week other than what we've watched?
I started a show on HBO Max. It's a BBC show. It's called Ghosts.
Ghosts with three S's at the end.
It's not Ghosts. It's not the Demi Moore.
Okay, well that's a shame. I thought you were about to tell us they started a series, and now I'm disappointed.
No. It's a series about a couple who inherit an old house in obviously the UK, because it's, you know, it's a BBC show, and the house is full of ghosts, and the woman, like, they're gonna go renovate it because it's this old, the house needs a lot of work, and she like falls down this, or she like, I think someone pushes her, one of the ghosts like can move things if he tries really hard, and he like pushes her out a window. It's fucked up. And so she gets like a head injury, and then post head injury she can now see the ghosts in the house. And her husband can't. So it's just about them trying to remodel this house while also having to deal with like the 8 ghosts that live there too throughout history. So there's like a caveman ghost, and there's like a World War II like army like officer. There's like the lady that the house was like built for, or may not built for, but like there's a, what's called the Button Manor or something like that is the name of the house, and her last name is Lady Button. There's like a poet, there's like a Boy Scout leader sort of character. They were there on the, because it's essentially if you die on the property, not necessarily in the house, you haunt the house. And so it was like the 80s for him, and he has like an arrow through his throat. But it's not like, and it's silly. It's a silly fucking show. Like, it's not gory. So like he has like a bandana around his neck with the arrow going through it constantly. And he's like this like short, chubby.
Watch this.
Yeah, dude, it's so fucking funny. If you like British humor, it's very good. And they're making a US version, which, you know, we'll see how that goes. It comes out in October on CBS, and it's got the girl from iZombie. Mm-hmm. Whatever her name is, I forget her name right now. I follow her on Instagram, but it was funny. So I started watching the show, and I was like, is that the show that she's working on? And I literally went to her Instagram account where she posted like the poster for it, and it looks like it was the character poster. And so it's like they have the lady from like the 1800s, they have, instead of a caveman, they have a Native American and also a Viking, which will be interesting. But it also has the Boy Scout like troop leader with like the arrow through the throat. So they're keeping some of the same things. There's like a politician, I think in the UK one too. It was like a guy who was trying to run for like prime minister or something, but like OD'd. So he was there at like a sex party or some shit. And like, so his ghost, he has his shirt and his jacket on and no pants. Like, cause that's how I guess he died. It's just very funny because the husband can't see the ghost, but she can. And so it's just really funny how like he'll be trying to talk to her. There's one where he walks in the living room, she's just sitting in front of the TV, and he's like, "Hey, Allison, Allison," and then it cuts to her like perspective, and all the ghosts are in there yelling at her, like telling her like what they need or whatever, like do this. And it's so loud, and she just can't hear him. But he's literally like, "Allison, hey, Allison." It's just a cacophony of noise of those guys. I thoroughly enjoy it. It's very good. There's like three seasons. It started in like 2019. So I think there's more seasons to come. But
I added it to my HBO Max watch list. So
yeah, it's fun. It's cute. It's not like gory or spooky or anything. Oh my god, there's in the basement are all the people that died there on the land of the plague. And they give some of them backstories, like they'll do like a how this person died, and then like how they're here now. And the one with the plague like community in the basement is so fucking funny, so fucking funny. Highly recommend.
Perfect. All right, Kev, what are you up to?
I watched. I'm pretty much all caught up on American Horror Story season.
Oh yeah, that too.
Right. Yeah, that's been amazing this season. Macaulay Culkin, it's so good to see him in things again. Like Brendan Fraser, I believe he really deserves a lot of love. And I think he's known, I mean, like the stuff he's done outside of Home Alone has been fantastic. You know, Party Monster was another good one, but man, he's doing really good in American Horror Story this season. Loved him so far. Also we watched What If, Marvel's What If. I'm all caught up on that as well. And that's been amazing. Like, that's been such a fun season, especially now that they're kind of incorporated that this could be real, you know, as far as like, it's not a what if because it's the multiverse. So, I mean, this has happened in other multiverses and some really wild shit. This week's episode was pretty dark, but it was pretty awesome, man. I liked it a lot. Yeah, I think that's about it. And then playing video games. I've been playing the normal stuff, trying to get through the Marvel's Avengers game. I'm almost through the main campaign of that, and I'm enjoying that. Also picked up PGA Tour 2K21.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I have been just fucking playing that way more than I should because I don't care about golf, but it's just such a chill game that it's hard not to like play. And it's just like, all right, one more course.
That's what I do at night, man. Like I'll sit there before bed if I was doing it. And I just play around and I just be like, all right. And it's just so relaxing. I'm like, ah, yes.
Yeah, seriously. I don't like golf at all. I've played mini golf a few times and that's about it. But I find myself playing this game. Same deal. It just kind of winds me down before bed.
Yep.
I have a golf game on my phone that like, it's what's it called? It's like Stickman Golf or something like that.
Oh, I thought maybe it was going to be like Pro Shop Simulator or something.
No, Super Stickman Golf 3. But I find it the same way. It's just relaxing, even though it's like, this is like more like challenging, like platformer challenging sort of. So, you know, it's not just like a golf course, you know, they're like weird, wacky levels. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, there's just something about like hitting a ball at a hole that is relaxing and fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for our Thirsty Thursday. Tomorrow we got Fan Friday, so I hope you got your questions in. Until then, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Doug.
I'm Kevin.